Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the
ball? I'll get you the ball. I
hope he didn't kill somebody.
Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money, y'all it for me. Bottle key, popping that water, man, jacking. Yeah, it's a party, it's a party, it's a party.
Welcome into another episode of 11 Personnel, where we are rocking and rolling here in lovely Jeffersontown, Kentucky. Nick Roush hanging out with Adam Luckett today. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. Episode 2. Nick.
Yeah.
How's it feel?
We made it to the second one.
I feel accomplished.
I know. And you know what?
They haven't fired us yet.
We're on iTunes now.
Is it up?
Did you know that? Yeah, we're on iTunes.
Rock and roll.
And we're on Spotify. We're on all of the best places to be on. It really doesn't get much better than that.
Wherever you can get nice sound quality to your ears, you can find us there.
Yes.
Spotify, iTunes.
Yep. Hopefully we'll be getting our pal Merle. He might be making an appearance in this show.
He might.
He's a
rambunctious one.
He's a very good boy, though.
He tries to be.
A little hairy, you know, but...
Yeah, you might have some hair on your clothes for the next few days there, Mr. Roush.
Not all of us can be as hairy as one Merle, but maybe one day I'll grow enough hair to be as cool as Merle. One day.
One day.
One day. Today on episode 2, last week, we kind of started to slowly trickle on the position previews, which you might have read on KentuckySportsRadio.com. That look at, and I'm not saying he, what's the word? The opposite of verbalized is what you did. You
put pen to paper.
Yes.
Fingers to keyboard.
Exactly. Yeah, because who has pen and paper anymore? You actually do. You've got a legal pad out there.
Yeah,
you look really official.
I have to have something in my hand, or then I get all fidgety.
Oh, yeah.
One of those guys.
Have you done TV before?
No, I've not.
See, that's...
Well,
I learned...
Like high school, grade school, like the morning show. But other than that, I don't think that really counts.
See, in like my college TV experience, I don't think that's the same either, where I learned quickly. It was always a pen. Some people do the roll up paper. Mm-hmm. I think the boss man, Matt, I think he does the piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big pen guy, but if it clicks... You're in trouble, folks, because
yeah.
I'm just
going
to
click
hell out of that
I
thing.
Used to be a clicker until I married my wife. Now I don't click anymore. She hates clickers.
That was a pretty good one. That was a pretty good one. But we're going to get into the position previews. But I think first and foremost, we've got to dig into the biggest news that happened right after I think this podcast was posted, and that's the injury of Devontae Robinson. And, folks, it's...
It's a big one.
Yeah, yeah. And so on your scale of 1 to 10, when you heard the name Devontae Robinson, done for the season, 10 being, oh my gosh, it's a four-alarm fire, get out, like, this is just dreadful, to at 1, what was your scale of worry when you heard the news?
When I first heard undisclosed injury to a key player on Kentucky's team, the first two guys I thought of, number one, Lynn Bolden.
Yep.
Because he's going to be a really important part to the offense.
I'd say so.
Number two, might surprise some people, but Drake Jackson.
I thought you'd say, yeah.
When he's not in the middle there, in depth on the offensive line is something we'll get into that they're going to have to really establish this year that they don't really have going into the season that they had in the last couple of years.
A lot of young guys who have played – in bit roles, but not in.
But especially him in the middle.
He's
if
the
he's not in
piece.
There in the middle, yeah, he's the biggest piece.
The only reason why I was like it can't be him is because they released like some 4 for 40 thing for him like the day before.
Yeah.
So it's like, thank God.
You remember the offense was rolling in the early part of the year. Drake gets I think Texas tweaked his groin at A&M, and then the offense kind of struggled
Screech.
From that point mm-hmm. until he, and then they he got healthy later in the year, and then you saw what happened in the bowl game and against Louisville, which against Louisville wasn't much to say about, but in the bowl game they really did some good things. But I think he's a really really important piece, and in media days we saw that he's one of the most most talented players in the eyes of a lot of people on right. Kentucky's team because he made I believe it was third team.
Right.
But then after that, I think Devontae Robinson's right there with a couple other guys. Yeah,
him and Terry, I think, are in similar company.
Because in Kentucky's defense, they ask a lot of that safety / nickel mm-hmm. guy. It was Mike Edwards played it the last couple years, and they asked him to do a lot. This year, Devontae Robinson, going into his fourth year in the program, redshirt junior season, got his feet wet as a redshirt freshman, played a lot, made a lot of plays since last year as a redshirt sophomore.
Probably his best game so far in his career was against Georgia,
mm-hmm.
which you want to talk about a good mm-hmm. time to have your best game. Mm-hmm. That's no easy.
And, I mean, he had his,
comes easy against
he had his ups and downs against Louisville. I didn't think he played very well. He gave up that big – he was the main reason for that big run that Malik – Malik Cunningham had.
That's a nice way to put it. That was a game where I'm like, what are you doing, Devontae? Mm-hmm. But it was also – a game where
mm-hmm.
you got to work through your
yeah.
It's a lot of growing pains at that position.
Mm-hmm. But they've kind of he was going to be that guy this year.
They're grooming him,
and he was going to be a person that moved around a lot. When they were in the nickel, he was going to be inside that slot corner, be used as a blitzer, be used as an extra run defender. When they're in base, they were going to probably use him all over the place, bringing him close to the line of scrimmage, bringing him on blitzes, asking him to cover tight ends. Asking him to cover slot receivers. So they were going to ask him a lot. And he was going to be a guy I thought was going to lead the team in tackles and was a guy that was going to contend for, you know, all yeah. SEC-type honors.
Him or Cash.
And I thought he was a player. He has the athletic ability that when he goes to the NFL, he's going to test off the charts.
Yeah.
So he was a guy that I kind of saw that maybe could be a guy that surprises people and leaves early. But that's not going to happen now. So that's a, you know, it's a huge loss because he was going to be the guy that kind of led that entire group, him and Jordan Griffin and hopefully Brandon Echols as a junior college corner. And then you were hoping those guys were your rocks and then you could bring on,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Cedric Dort, who's going to start at the other corner, Yusuf Corker, Tyrell Asian. But now they don't have that. Now they got to throw those guys in the fire right away.
They got to figure it out quick.
Mm-hmm.
And
we really don't know what they're going to – we don't know what they're going to do. I would guess they would play Asian at corner or at nickel.
See,
but I don't know if it's...
See, that's where we can have a little fun here because I think
Asian... Do they move Griffin around? Because they could do that now.
So, when Robinson came in, was he... He wasn't... He was the same class as Griffin. But Griffin didn't get redshirted, correct?
Yeah, they were in that Cash Daniel, Drake Jackson
yes.
class, which has actually turned out to be a really good class. Class Very of 2016. Good.
They were probably the lowest ranked of the students mm-hmm. there, too. But Griffin didn't get the redshirt. And for whatever reason, he just... I don't know. It was the point last year where I was like, is Jordan Griffin hurt? Like, what's the deal? Like, I get that the other guys are good, but I just wasn't seeing him anywhere. He was one of those guys that was talked about a lot, especially in, like, the August interview kind of stuff.
If you remember back to when they won on signing day, it was Auburn was really coming on hard.
Really hard.
For him. Like, really hard. Wanted him bad. And it got to the point where I think Stoops had to tell him not to talk to the Auburn or tell him they signed. He can't go there or something.
Stoops basically stayed with him on the phone until after midnight so that he could tell the other team that he had already signed his papers.
Right.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy sounding day story. One mm-hmm. of the craziest ones we've had so far. Quick aside, the Devontae Robinson recruitment, also very similar in that they didn't want anybody finding out about him.
Because of how they knew he would test in that camp circuit.
Exactly. Because he tested at mm-hmm. like a 4.29 or 4.32 or something just stupid at UK. It was one of those two numbers. I can't recall which one. But they got really mad at a reporter because a reporter found out how fast he was and tweeted out. So now that's one rule you don't do as a reporter at a UK camp. You say about – He tested at around.
Ballpark it.
Yeah, you give a window because when you give specifics, then Notre Dame comes calling and tries to steal Devontae mm-hmm. Robinson. But that aside, the ball was in Jordan Griffin's court. And I think at this point, going into the year, I was kind of anticipating you would have a scenario where kind of it was almost like they were a yin and yang type player where if you wanted Robinson in more in run support, then you would play him at nickel and you would have – you could throw Griffin in at strong.
I think the way they like Griffin, I think they, since we really haven't seen him at nickel yet, and he's a guy that the coaches talk about a lot, I think they probably feel that he's best as kind of like the cover safety. It's kind of your deep safety at all times. So what that tells me is that that nickel spot is going to kind of be open for maybe someone else, maybe a Ty Asian, maybe an MJ Devonshire can, you know, get the mix.
So, okay, I like you throwing in MJ's name. The one you mentioned earlier that I think is it's right up his alley, and that's Yusuf Corker, because he's just
came in as a corner.
He's built like a brick shit house. Mm-hmm. That dude is freaking yoked, and he has the physicality that you need from like a run stopper and some dude who's just like, hey, keep people out of the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could get in trouble if they're running
see,
corner
that's
routes on you. But yeah.
I think Corker, they kind of see him as a Darius West type, kind of that free safety, but a guy that can scream down and help defend the run or come on blitzes. Mm-hmm. And maybe they like him more as a kind of a guy that comes up and bumps some people in the run game, in crossing patterns, but not as a guy that's got to cover, you know, man-to-man on the outside.
That's a good point. Now, last year, we saw him mostly in a kind of a special teams, kind of reserve role, whereas Asian was the opposite, where they used him more free playing back in, like, their dime packages.
Yeah, he was their dime defensive back last year.
Because they're like, hey, this dude, really fast, let's just get all over the field, and perfect place, right time, Mississippi State. It's 14-7. He picks off a pass. Next play, Benny goes 40 yards for a touchdown. Mm-hmm.
Ball game.
Yeah. Which you want to talk about. I'm sure you were in the stands for it. And I just envy you because I'm sure that place was just nuts.
That was arguably the most – that fourth quarter was the most fun I've ever had in that stadium.
it was
so much fun.
And the reason why I was so jealous, and I kind of got a little bit of it at the NFL draft, but it wasn't like a UK event. It was just a bunch of crazy drunks. When it rains, people just get crazy. Mm-hmm. There's just something about it. Like, all right, well, we're in it. We might as well just stand up and get rowdy the entire time.
It was a big game, and it was just two really good teams in hindsight, especially on the line of scrimmage, just beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah, man, some of the sacks.
And Kentucky just pulled away at the end.
Watching Boogie Watson like try to sack Nick Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. Nick Fitzgerald's bigger than him.
Yeah. And then all the guys Mississippi State had in the front seven going up against – you know, Stenberg and Drake Jackson are wolfing at them, and they're going back and forth. It was just a fun game to watch.
Just a mud fight, and the Cats won. That was a hell of a time last year. But that was when his first big play. And he was one of those guys who – I remember when he was getting recruited, and it might have even been when he first got on campus, I was like, this dude's a four-star athlete. He's just built kind of weird for a really athletic guy. He's a big butt guy, big butt, big thighs guy, built more like a linebacker from the waist down, but real kind of thinner up top, but a good athlete that he's another one who he was going to play already. He's definitely playing a lot this time around.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's something that, like, you know, we're going to hear but throughout the next month. Like, we're doing a little bit of this with Corker, we're doing this with Griffin, we're doing a little bit with Agent, but we're not really going to know until – the game happens.
When they recruited Asian, I think they recruited him to be kind of that Mike Edwards mold, that kind of guy that they could just move around all over the place. Mm-hmm. I just think now they're going to have to do it a lot sooner than they wanted
to. They can't just get his toes wet and let him break him in slowly.
Yeah.
Well, kind of like how they did with Robinson. Now, the two newcomers that I think could play a significant role in this in some capacity is one, MJ Devonshire, where you can say, all right, just man up in the slot. Because that's something you can reasonably do. It's just like, all right, there's going to be a bunch of other stuff going around. You just cover that slot guy. And that's kind of what they did with Chris Westry when he first got there. They would play cover three elsewhere or, you know, whatever kind of scheme they wanted to and just say, Westry, you guard that guy.
And they're no stranger to throwing young guys in that position. They did it with Blake McLean, Stoops' first year.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of threw Kendall Randolph in there to back up McLean when he got on campus the following season.
Right.
So, I mean, Devonshire, I mean, that was a big recruiting win late in that cycle last year. And I think expectations are high. I think some people think he can be a kick returner because he's got some burners.
Yeah. He's
So he might have been – they might have been planning to play him already because of what he brings to the return game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Track star. So
100 meter.
So we'll see. I mean, I think it's a definite that he's probably going to play this year for sure now.
Yeah. And the other name I thought I'd throw in there too that – It's going to come down to how much the Stoops want to put on his table. Because this is where it gets tricky with JUCO guys. Because we know what Brandon Echols is going to do. He's going to be a starting cornerback. But I'm curious as to what they can do with Quandre Mosley, because Mosley, when you see this guy for the first time, because you're going to be at practice Saturday, correct?
Yes, sir.
Come up for that.
I'll be there.
You're like, wait, Chris Westry plays with the Cowboys. What's he doing here? Come on, Chris, go get to Dallas, because he wears 21, he's big and tall, and he's playing cornerback. But the thing is, he played safety in junior college, so
he fit the mold for what Kentucky likes in their corners. They were going to try to mold him into a corner,
right? So do you try to force that hand, or you play what's comfortable? That's a tough decision, and that's why Mark Stoops, Steve Klingscale, and Dean Hood are getting paid the big bucks to make those decisions.
For me, it comes down to, is he better than what you have right now? Is he going, by the end of fall camp, is he going to be better or close to better than Yusuf Corker, Tyrell Agent, even a Moses Douglas?
Yeah.
Is he going to be better than those guys?
Another one that we haven't mentioned yet.
And a great point you made is they've got blue chips back there. They've recruited well at that position.
Every person we've mentioned to this point, all four-star recruits.
At least by one recruiting service.
Yes, yeah. So, like, there's talent there. But I don't think there's a position that is more I remember Darius West coming back from injury, and it wasn't like he was messing up because he didn't know what he was doing. His angles were bad because his timing was off, because it is such a position that is based on feel and instincts. And that's whenever they would talk about Mike Edwards, he was so great because he's just instinctual.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, hell, you're seeing it now. He had two picks in practice yesterday. So, like, you have guys who have all the talent in the world, but you can't replicate game reps. That's just invaluable experience, and you lost that with Devontae Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, he was going to be the league dog back there, and now you lost that. And now, in turn, it puts more pressure on that front seven to be good.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be good, but now they probably need them even more to be good, even more so.
Did you see the video of Xavier Peters?
No, I have not seen that yet.
So they're UK, before we get our hands on them at UK Football Media Day on Friday, they're releasing these like 2-3 minute videos where they basically just mesh up some interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And they show Peters. And I remember seeing Peters like at Florida State. And I was like, you've been getting into the dining hall a little too much there, Xavier.
Get that freshman 15 in?
Yeah. Man, he does not look like that now. He looks shredded. Getting that guy eligible could be huge.
A mix of that Jack hybrid spot of him and Jordan Wright would help a lot.
It would be so bad. And especially because, the guys that they've recruited in this incoming class, the edges, really talented.
Mm-hmm.
But you do it.
And I'm a big fan of Katie McDaniel. I love me some Katie McDaniel.
No, you need to be able to redshirt at least two of those dudes. Like, if you can get Peters, you can save one of those guys a year.
Absolutely.
And just let one of those three between Weaver, Casey, and Katie McDaniel, let them fight it out amongst each other. Marquez Bembry's going to play right away because he's got to. I think that kid can be really good. So, and I think he would be playing the other side. I think he's playing Sam alongside Booker.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a Sam.
Yeah. But nonetheless, if you can get Xavier Peters, you save another guy a year that Josh Allen didn't get. Like, couldn't afford. I mean, this would have been Josh Allen. I mean, just think about that. He didn't redshirt. He was a true senior last year. It's stupid. It's just crazy. He could have been a junior. It's just absolutely stupid.
And at the spring game and leading into it, Brad White was really frustrated with his outside linebackers. Yeah. And I think a lot of it had to do with Jordan Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows how good that kid is. But I think in practice, they were struggling to get him to consistently perform. And then even after the spring game, Jordan Wright had a really good game.
Yeah, he was probably the best player of the game. And, you know, I think some of it is like, I think that's the SoFlo.
Yeah, you got that South Florida drip.
Yeah, so if you all, when you all hear Chuck on the KSR Football Podcast, because there's they get a lot of corners from SoFlo, South Florida. And SoFlo kids, there is a different kind of like, it's just a different kind of swag about them. They got all their swag. They're very, and it might be the case where he just, when the lights turn on, it's game time and he's ready to go. Hopefully that's the case, because if not, you're right. Brad White was. I'm used to defensive coordinators being tight-lipped. He went on like 6-minute rant about just how terrible his guys were playing. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. He'll give you some information if you ask him the right questions.
Sometimes too much. When you're standing there holding your phone, like, all right, Brad, come on. My arm's getting tired. Nonetheless, we digress. We're not going to get into the specifics, but to kind of put a bow on the Devontae Robinson spiel, the good news, there's a lot of talent there. But
and the head coach, this is his specialty.
Yes, and it worked out well last time. The guys got thrown into the fire. So
and it might be a thing where this team takes their lumps this year, but next year when they return a lot of guys, yeah. they'll have a bunch of dudes, and they get Devontae Robinson back, and then
yeah.
you're a group that's really ready to rock and roll.
Exactly. And we've seen influxes where it goes from secondary's great, front seven sucks, flip it around. I mean, you know, the defensive line was the weakest unit going into last year and it being one of the better units.
Yeah.
You know, it just there's an ebb and flow to it, and I think that's especially the case with the defensive line this year. You just Phil Hoskins, Calvin Taylor, you dudes got to get some natural
pressure. They're 2 to 3 deep at every position up front. They're really, really good on the defensive line.
They just got to be explosive, stay in their lanes, and make dudes throw bad putts. Yeah. Just, hey, guys, just capitalize on a few mistakes by the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. But the next big point I wanted to get, I did briefly want to mention the big news out of the women's clinic. Courtney Love taking over Freddie's spot.
Saw that.
Yeah.
Good for C-Love.
Yeah, he's great.
And Freddie was a little unique in that role, just real quick, because I don't think he had really any aspirations to become a college coach.
Right.
9 times out of 10 in that role, that's kind of a way to get you in the building to help you move up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Courtney Love, it's a great go 1 year as a grad assistant, get on a support staff role, and he's going to be a guy that's maybe fast-tracking to be, you know, a college football assistant, and who knows, maybe joining the program a few years down the road as a real real position assistant.
And I think what Freddie did well is he had all the connections to the older kind of generation, like, hey, this is forever. This is for all the former Kentucky football guys. The door is always open. Courtney, those relationships were established, and he was already in the building, so he knows those guys. He is a former guy.
Yep.
He's a freaking Warfel Trophy winner.
Yep.
The college football's best community servant. So he checks all of the boxes, and it was a role made for him. And hopefully he can hang around there for a couple of years. I know he can't be in the middle of the drills. Well, hell, I don't know what the restrictions are, but you better believe he's going to be on the field.
And one thing Stoops has shown that it's important to him is having former players around, and he's got a few on that staff that played here. Mm-hmm. Maxwell Smith is a grad assistant. John Schlarman played here.
Mm-hmm.
So
Maxwell Smith's been a GA. Like, he has to have like 3 master's degrees at this point, right?
He's been around for a while.
Because I was thinking, I was like, this is his third season at least.
I just turned 30 to show you my age, and I'm pretty sure Max Smith was either my grade or a year above me while in school.
Yeah, that sounds right.
He's been around a while.
Did y'all take like math 119 together?
No, I really didn't do math, Nick Roush.
I didn't either. It was 109. That was the only I took college algebra, and that was it. I regretted it. It's awful. I did whatever I could to avoid calculus. Didn't have to take calculus.
Numbers and letters ain't no fun.
No fun at all. Now, big news that came out yesterday. And I'm wondering, curious, how much do you believe it or not? Darren Henshaw, he's ready to double Terry Wilson's passing attempts. Going to throw it 35 to 40 times a game this year. Mark Stoops has never had a quarterback throw more than 33 times a game in his career at Kentucky. Will Terry Wilson get 35 to 40 attempts a game?
No. But what that quote tells me is that what they're telling the team is we're gonna run 80-85 plays.
Yeah.
This year.
Or
because if you're passing the ball 40 times and you're not a tempo offense, you're essentially Washington State.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to run the ball. But that tells me is they're planning on being a tempo team, and I think that's where Terry excels the best. But in this, I think we need to remember who the head coach is and what he wants to do. And that rushing stat he always gives out.
The team that
rushes for more yards in an SEC game wins 10% of the time.
I think there's only one game that – I think he's undefeated in that set.
Yeah.
Still. Where when that happens, they win every time.
So they're still going to run the ball a lot. But I think they want to pass the ball more. I think that's obvious. I think not saying Benny Snell handcuffed him. I think now Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw kind of want to show their chops. They got an experienced quarterback. They've got a stud at slot receiver.
They got running backs they can roll in.
They got they're going to have running backs they can roll in. And they got all of them are going to have like a big play factor,
yeah.
except for maybe Chris Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got some experience outside at receiver. When you talk about Isaiah Epps, Josh Ali have played, Ahmad Wagner has played.
gotten a lot of pass interference.
Yeah.
Flags.
So I think they're ready. I think they're ready to kind of unleash that passing game. But at the same time, this is still going to be an offense that leans towards the run. But I believe they're gonna play with more tempo because we talked about on the last podcast to take advantage of all that speed they have on the outside.
I believe going into the season, I think the biggest question was we know that there's going to be more pressure on Terry and they're going to put the ball in his hands to make more plays. But the question was, well, exactly how much? I think this is the general range that they want to kind of have in mind. But I think there's also a caveat. Well, Terry only threw it 20 times last year, but I bet there were 30 pass plays called and he tucked and run so many. They checked out of some of them. I think the 35 to 40 times is we're going to call that many of them, but that's going to change depending on what the defense gives them. Because that's probably the thing we don't value enough is Terry Wilson's ability to run the football.
Terry was likely in a lot of fake RPO actions last year, whether it was like you're handing this ball off or if a certain thing has to happen for you to pull it, like a specific thing. I think now they're going to kind of give him more liberty to make decisions out there on the field. And his decision-making ability is probably going to determine a lot of it, how big of a leash
he
gets from the offensive staff.
Because that was what he struggled with last year,
yeah,
making quick decisions. So I have a feeling he'll be much better at that. But we talked to that at length last week. We're going to dive into the running backs now because it's a fun group. And obviously you can't replace Benny Snell with one guy. It's just not going to be the case. But mind you, when A.J. Rose was recruited in the same class as Benny Snell, many people, including myself.
Me too.
Yeah, I thought A.J. was going to be better.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
And it ultimately came down to pass pro. He sucked at pass pro. And I can't think of the game. It might have been Tennessee the year that Steven dove in for the game when he touched down. But he got put in for a play and immediately just whiffed on a block.
Was it the possession Barker was in there? Steven got hurt, might have been. Because I remember there was a big sack there.
It was a big sack. And it was just like, dude, that was your guy. Like, and you knew it, but he just whiffed completely. And he didn't see the light of day after that again.
I think it was confidence, too, when he was young.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the redshirt freshman year, I think, was really hard on A.J. Rose.
And Benny's never liked confidence. That was never a problem for him.
There's no doubt about that.
But A.J. Rose, now it's his time to shine. What's your favorite part about A.J. Rose's game?
Just his size and his every time he touches it, if he gets a crease, he has playmaking ability. He had, I believe it was 60-something carries, or 71 carries last year. 10 went for at least 10 yards.
So that's 1/6 of his carries were first downs.
He had 4 20-plus yards, and that kind of explosive rate, like if he carried that over a larger sample size, he'd be one of the two or three most explosive backs in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can prove, and I wrote about this earlier in the summer, but I said if A.J. Rose can keep up that explosiveness and efficiency on a bigger sample size, really just the efficiency, if he can keep getting you ahead of the chains and then provide that big play threat, he's going to run for over 1,000 yards. He's going to clear that easy even on less carries. But I think the big thing you're going to see this year is Rose is obviously going to be RB1.
Right.
But in 2016, you really had a balanced effort. Benny had 186 carries.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was because he was the guy that would come in and milk the clock late in games. Boom had 171. JoJo had 70. So then you throw in Terry Wilson, a running QB, to that threat. I think you're going to see something like AJ, 170 carries a game, or not carries per year, which averages out to not that many per game. And then you're going to see Terry get around 120, 130, and then you're going to have Kavassier Smoke probably get, the next 80. Mm-hmm. So you're really going to have, like we didn't see the last 2 years, we're going to have a true rotation there at running back.
Right. And the thing is that they all give a little something different. And to A.J. Rose's point in particular, he's a big dude that is explosive. But the thing, and he's a good pass catcher, because that was the one part
that's
about
another thing I think he's going to bring to the table.
Yeah, because that's where Boom Williams just, dude, if he could have caught a football and if he could have returned kicks, he'd be in the NFL playing bit roles. But he couldn't. He just didn't have hands. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have durability either. Whereas Rose has, yeah, I mean, he's not going to score an 80-yard.
We're going to find out about his durability this year.
That's true. That's true. We didn't really have to in years prior. But he's a big dude. I think he can take a hit or two. And if you notice in every one of his runs, he's going downhill. Mm-hmm. And so he had a touchdown against Georgia last year. I believe he ended up scoring on it. And it was a lot of dumb luck. And it was dumb luck because he was moving downhill. The ball got tipped. It was a little like flare route. And it kind of bounced in his hands. It was almost Fred Tiller dropping the interception in the Florida guy's hands. And but he was in the right place at the right time. He was moving forward full head of steam. And he just kind of stumbled his way into the end zone. And that's the kind of plays that you get from AJ where, oh, well, he's on his way down. Kind of like Benny would grind out chunks of yards like that. AJ does it similarly, or he does the same thing in a different way.
When it comes to short yardage situations, I think Kentucky's going to have to figure out what they're going to do because Benny, that's where Benny was so valuable. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if any back can do or you know, make on third and two stuff at the line of scrimmage. Can you find a way to lean forward and get 3 yards?
Rodriguez is built like it.
Yeah.
Now, can he pass pro, though, if you want to do a play action out of it or something?
But AJ might have had the best individual run of any player on Kentucky's roster last year with that South Carolina touchdown.
Ooh.
Where he breaks a few tackles, gets on an inside zone play. If you want to look it up, I even did an inside the play on that back in the season.
Oh, okay.
Talk about that. But he makes a few tackles, breaks a couple tackles on the – gets outside, stiff arms a guy, breaks another tackle on the sideline, dives to the end zone and scores on a 20, 24, 25-yard touchdown run.
Okay. I'm looking at it live right now. So, man, I just love beating South Carolina. Well, great read. Makes one move.
This is great podcast material on the ground.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're right. I remember that play. That was a great play.
So he has that big play, home run, splash, chunk play ability.
That we really didn't get from Benny.
No, that you just didn't get from Benny. And with that is going to come some things where Kentucky may not be as good in the red zone or may not be as good on short yardage play.
Or first downs. But you know, if you're not getting ahead of the chains early.
But they should be able, in theory, they should be able to make up for it in explosive plays because they didn't get hardly any explosive plays last year.
That's going to be
– and that
going
makes
to
it
hear,
easier on your offense.
I'm going to hear explosive so many times over the next month. I might go crazy hearing how much more explosive this offense needs to get because that's going to be the name of the game.
Because that's why I think when we're talking about this offense this year, we need to kind of compare it to that 2016 offense with more of a passing game involved because they're going to have that big play threat like Boone provided the offense and even Bidette to a certain extent provided big plays, which Bolden's going to hopefully provide at receiver. And then you got A.J. Rose, Kavosia Smoke, both have that. You know, that Kavosia Smoke run in the spring game where he puts that in middle linebacker in the blender and goes 82 yards.
That would have been the longest play from scrimmage last year.
It was an impressive run. And then in the Louisville game, he's a guy that busted a big one and broke a tackle down the field and punched it in for a touchdown. So those guys are bringing something that Kentucky just didn't have, I don't think, last year in the running game. And then if your passing game is more effective, that kind of running game can really be a backbreaker to opposing defenses.
The thing about Kavosia Smoke that I'm interested to get to know him because, A, he's from Wetumpka, Alabama, which is the most Alabama-sounding town I've ever heard in my life.
Right outside Montgomery.
He also, you can hear the Alabama in his voice, too, whenever like they're working out and stuff. And he's a... I love watching them go through. I normally didn't pay attention to the drills. I know I probably should have when I had open practices, but I like looking at the bigs hit each other. But I love the shoulders over knees kind of style of running. And he can be really good this year. And that's where I think that this position is fun because there's so much untapped potential with all four of the running backs. And I'm throwing in my boy Travis Tisdale. I'm a big Travis Tisdale fan. And let me tell you why here, Lucky. Tisdale, no relation to Vito Tisdale, the recruit from Bowling Green. That's a safety and the son of Nappy Roots' Big V. Travis Tisdale, he played at Lowndes.
Valdosta.
Yes. So Lowndes is in the biggest class in the state of Georgia. Valdosta is obviously the third biggest city there, second or third. Probably second, right? Behind Atlanta?
That's a good question. I don't really know.
It's probably second, really making like third. So, yeah, second biggest city in Georgia.
That sounds about right.
And so, get this. Last year, when they played their rival, Valdosta, he went for 413 yards and 6 touchdowns. 1,900 yards and 21 touchdowns. He took them to the Final Four. He's a big-time play guy. He was an ESPN Top 300 guy, but I don't know. I guess he didn't do the camp circuit, and so they just didn't pay attention to him. But he has the trunk of a power back, but the explosiveness of a home run hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the physical tools plus the intangibles that he brings to the table, I'm putting some presumptions out there.
But all counts, a high character kid.
Yeah, we've heard. Exactly. Like, he's a military kid. His dad is on the base there at the Air Force. It drives me nuts. I always forget the name of it, but I've stayed on it. My cousin is freaking on the base. Like, I've been there multiple times, but I always forget the name of it. But that's what brought them to Valdosta. And so if he brings in that kind of work ethic, that mentality, that same kind of mentality that Benny Snell had, I think he's going to be one of those guys where Eddie Grand, his big thing is like, make me play you. I think Tisdale's going to make him play him this year. And he is my underrated watch out for this newcomer to play this year.
When you talk, we spent pretty much this whole segment talking about just explosiveness, home run ability in the offense. I think the staff has made it clear with how they've gone out and recruited that they desperately want to get that back.
Yes, yes.
From a running back standpoint. And Tisdale fits that kind of mold. He's what Bryant Kolbak was supposed to be.
Oh,
and now Bryant Kolbak's at Toledo, and we're going to see him week one. He kind of did what for Toledo last year, what Kentucky kind of wanted in a back that you give 9-10 carries a game, and hopefully he just gets one crease, and then he's off to the races.
Can I say, too, just briefly on Kolbak, we'll get into him in the Toledo thing, but for all the people who are like, oh, Mark Stoops shouldn't block the transfer, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? It's protocol for a reason. You don't invest in a kid and give him a redshirt year and then let him go to Toledo and then in his first year be second in touchdowns. Like,
oh yeah,
it's like Kolbak pulled one over on those guys. It's
Kolbak's going to be in the running for like MAC Player of the Year this season.
Yes, and that's why I hated that. Like when you first hear it, like, oh, Stoops is blocking a transfer. Everybody wants a pal on the coach. Let the player do what they want. Same time,
they did not want that kid to leave. They were
yeah, he's good. He's going to be really good. Mm-hmm. And now he could come back and bite him in the butt and beat him in the first game of the year. But I don't think that's happening. Rockets, Vince Merrill isn't going to lose to you.
Yeah,
he built.
I didn't even think about that. That'll be a storyline game week.
Yeah, I'm wondering. It would be fun. Like, I'm going to give Kyle. This is sounds like an athletic story to like go up to Toledo and talk to all of the big dogs' old teammates or something.
Yeah,
about that. That's a very like the athletic. We're going to do a deep expose on the roots of so and so. It's right up their alley. There
you athletics go, now like the third biggest employer in America. It feels like right up there with Amazon.
Oh, that was good looking. That was good looking. So the running backs in general, though. What are reasonable expectations for them?
I think it's very reasonable to expect one guy to emerge and be a 1,000-yard rusher, have another 1,000-yard rusher in the offense.
When was the last time they didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher?
2015.
Man.
Shannon Dawson.
Mm.
Imagine that.
Yeah, he got fired at Southern Miss.
Yeah, he's going to be a
– he's at Houston?
Yeah, he's like there as
Dana quarterback Holgerson, coach. Back with Dana? Yeah. That experiment did.
They were really bad on offense last year, Southern Miss.
Yeah.
Like, really bad. They had a great, like, they had top 25 defense, and they only went 6-6 because their offense was so bad.
Yeah.
But that should, I mean,
well,
I'm a Shannon Dawson basher, for those of you that do not know, so that should not surprise you.
But also, that Southern Miss team was really good. Nick Mullins. Uh-huh. Edo Smith.
Oh, that first offense he had should have been a lot better.
They were really good. There's a reason why they beat Kentucky.
Edo Smith and Mullins playing in the NFL.
Yeah, Edo Smith, 1A back in Atlanta. Nick Mullins, Monday Night Football hero for the 49ers, which was like, I remember when that game happened, and I was like, I know
hey,
that
we
name.
Know that
where,
guy.
Where? And it took me a second because I'm like, where is this guy from? Like, did I did he play high school football? I could tell, like, I'm trying to rack my brain, and then I tried to block out that memory.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? So that was the running backs. You know, they're going to be that's going to be a fun group to watch Saturday to see how they kind of distribute carries. And even though you can't really, like, they're not going to be tackling by any means, but I'm going to be interested to see the rotation and to see just how fast some of these dudes are.
Yeah, my expectation is that it's going to be Rose and Smoke as, like, the heavy dogs out in front, and then can, as the season goes on, can a Chris Rodriguez or your guy Tisdale, can they break into the rotation?
Right, because that was something Saeem King.
Because you're going to need
– Saeem King couldn't do it.
Eventually, you're going to need a third.
Yeah, eventually.
But if an injury bites Rose or Smoke, how does that affect the offense, I think, is going to be a big question. I think they're not super deep there right now. So that's a group that needs to stay healthy. But it's also, I don't think it's going to be asking as much as they did last couple of years with, you know, that big workhorse back of Benny Snell.
Exactly. Who stayed healthy, and he bragged about it all the time. By the way, I was like, oh, whatever happened to Saeem King? Where did he end up transferring to?
Still has not been announced. Him or can Jared Daniel.
Yeah, I can't imagine Daniel.
I saw today Chris Whitaker. He's going to FIU, going back home.
Yeah.
Miami kid.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Saeem King. Interesting.
I would guess FCS.
Yeah. You'd think like Eastern Kentucky. Or he's from Georgia. He'd go to Valdosta State or something.
Like Kennesaw State or something like that. Yeah. Valdosta State.
Surprised we never heard anything of that. Receivers. Do we want to get into receivers right now?
It's your call. I can do it.
Can you do it?
Yeah.
Can you dig it?
Let's roll through it.
Okay. Actually, no. Let's save it because we're going to do receivers and tight ends next week.
That'll work.
And what I do want to do, just some stuff to watch for it open practice, because I did say when I started this podcast last
week,
we want to keep it tight.
I want to ask you.
We're at 40 minutes.
I want to ask you a question. Entering fall camp and in fall camp, we've had a couple surprises in the last couple of years. David Bouvier kind of came out of nowhere last year.
And Calvin was Taylor a star was of camp. Kind of
Calvin Taylor, old. I think the year before that was kind of like, hey, watch out for this guy. Benny Snell, as a true freshman, everybody said, well, this guy's really damn good.
Yep.
And then he became a star. So what? Who's your guy? Maybe a guy that's been here a while that really hadn't broke in yet, or maybe a guy in the freshman recruiting class. Who's your guy that we get into a couple weeks in camp, and that's like the buzz we're getting from campus that this guy's really showing out?
I think Phil Hoskins is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Hoskins is – he got some early buzz. Like, Derek LeBlanc really liked just how disruptive he was. He's just really good at firing through holes. And LeBlanc, the reason why I like LeBlanc so much, aside from Brumbaugh, is that there's two kinds of way you can coach defensive line. One of them is kind of read and react. You just hit them, you get some extension, you fill the hole, and you see where the ball's going to be played. Whereas LeBlanc, they'll do that in some instances. They'll use that scheme. But a lot of times it's just get back in the backfield through your gap that you're assigned to and disrupt. And that's what Phil Hoskins is really good at. But I think Phil Hoskins, I think that JUCO transition was harder than – not than most. I mean, for Melvin Lewis is probably the only person who has ever seamlessly gone from JUCO.
Za'Darius.
Yeah, Za'Darius. I take that back.
But he was kind of a can't-miss guy coming out of junior college.
Exactly, yeah. But like C.J. Johnson, people forget that C.J. Johnson was second on the team in tackles as a defensive lineman. He had like 17 tackles in a game or something once.
Yes, EKU.
Yeah, that was stupid. That's just the dumbest number I've ever heard from interior defensive linemen. But I think it takes those guys a little bit longer, and especially from a how to handle your weight and dieting and eating the right way when you went from, if you've watched LSU, to like just you're eating garbage or nothing to got like all this at my, you know, I've got all of this in front of me, you know, I have resources now. So I think for Hoskins, I think it took him a little while last year. He had shoulder surgeries in the off season. And he's a guy too, that is just like in general, just a nice guy to talk to. Mm-hmm. When you're at Fan Day Saturday, Phil Hoskins, great guy to talk to. Just a real nice guy. He's like hey, what's up, man? And then like, he'll go out of his way to say hi to me every time. Stuff that like normal 21, 22 year olds don't do. And I think that kind of like, okay, I know that this year is the year I got to make some money. I think he's going to come out and be one of those guys who, I think last year he had 3 sacks, maybe like 6 tackles for loss, give or take. I think he can be like a 9 12 kind of range.
And here's the thing with Hoskins. Right now, I don't think he's even starting on that defensive line.
Yeah, I think Taylor is starting his spot.
I think you're going to have – the starting three are going to be Carter, Bohanna, and Calvin Taylor Jr. And so that's – you talk about Hoskins and Pascal coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got some dudes on that front.
Yeah, man, and that's another storyline to watch throughout fall camp is, hey, how healthy is Josh Pascal? Because I know we didn't really – but if you watch the Today Show bit where they took a chunk out of his foot.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, so it's one of those where the good thing is that you know that he has all that explosiveness and stuff, but just getting back into the rhythm of things, I hope that 30 days of hitting each other around in practice will get that fire back under him and, you know, keep him healthy. Who's your guy as let's go step onto the scene and raise some hell in camp?
I think eventually – even if they don't get the announcement, I think Xavier Peters is going to have to be kind of held back in camp because they don't know if they're going to have him or not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to open a spot at Jack. I think J.J. Weaver, long-term, is a defensive end in Kentucky's 3-4 scheme. So I think they kind of start that transition, and that leaves an opening for Katie McDaniel.
Oh,
and
your boy.
This kid is awesome. I'm telling y'all, he's awesome.
Dude, he's got a great Georgia accent, too. Him and Kavassier, best Southern accents on the entire team.
He's going to play, and I don't think he's going to make an impact, but he's going to be a guy that's like, hey, watch out for this kid in the future. And I think down the road, he's going to be – now, he's not – like, pass rushing, he has a long way to go. But you're talking about just
– he's a brick
squaring fitness. Up on somebody, getting a push, and being disruptive, forcing a blocker backwards and getting behind the line of scrimmage and creating havoc.
Nice little bull rush, yeah.
That's the kind of player this guy is. I think he's going to be a great run stuffer. And now we'll see how he develops as a pass rusher, but he's going to be a force against the run. So that's one guy I have. And then when you look at kind of some upperclassmen, I really like that Hoskins pick that you had, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to...
Ooh, another one I like too, Abule.
Yeah, but that's your guy.
It's crowded defensive line. I just like him too because he's just
I think hilarious. You're going to hear them gush about Chris Oates.
See, here's the thing with the Bulle too. He's basically, hey, Marquand McCall, you don't get your stuff together, Abule is getting Quentin Bohanna's other reps at nose. But that's what they're going to use.
But my number one answer is Keaton Upshaw.
Oh, yes. Good call. Good job. Good answer.
Had the red
number one on the Family Feud board.
They were going to slowly play him until he got hurt. I think they were going to play him 4 games, but they were going to kind of get his feet wet.
Yeah.
So they had to redshirt him.
He is enormous human being.
But we talk about the offense doing more, spreading the ball out more, getting out on the perimeter more. Keaton Upshaw brings something to that tight end position that they haven't had, and that's a guy that can get up the seam and vertically stretch the field. And it's a huge target, 6'7", 230, 240 pounds.
He's every bit of 6'7".
He could be a guy that can – really put a lot of pressure on defenses, especially if you're hammering at them with some outside stuff about just sneaking him up the seam and hitting him with a quick 15, 20-yard pass, and then boom, it's a vertical play right there, explosive play right there. And then in the red zone, he's going to provide some stuff.
Right.
So I think he's a guy that they're really kind of itching to get into the mix and use as a part of the offense, and I think he could be a guy that really makes an impact, not as a starter, but makes an impact.
Has a couple big patches this year, yeah.
And then, of course, everybody's favorite, Ahmad Wagner, I'm sure he'll get some mention.
A couple jump balls, yeah. As far as stuff to watch for an open practice, I do hope that if you get the chance to go out there and watch practice this Saturday, practice starts – fan day festivities start at 9 a.m. So I just get there, get some autographs, meet the players. That's your best chance to actually talk to them and hang out with them. They're great guys. Stoops is – I mean, they really are high-character guys. The practice, I believe, is at either 10:15 or 11. I think it ends at 10:15, and they give them 45 minutes to get all this stuff together and get out there to practice. But the reason why I really do implore you to get out there is because, A, the facilities are marvelous, and you get to really experience them firsthand. But they're really – I still remember the first time I got to a UK football practice. Like, I thought DeMarco Robinson was a stupid athlete. Yeah, it was DeMarco Robinson. Like – the athletes that Stoops is recruiting, it really is. Like, even the – so there was a picture that Josh Ali had on Twitter where Lamar Thomas was, like, taking shots at him. I don't know who the guy was next to him. I spent too much time trying to figure out who the receiver or linebacker that was posing with Josh Alvey was. I have no idea. And that's what we're working with right now, is that even your guy who's only been in the program for a year is shredded and an incredible athlete.
I think a lot of that comes back to they're recruiting a different type of athlete too. They are developing the shit out of some of these guys.
Yeah.
But they're recruiting some better, you know, some better players. And so you get them a couple years in the system. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys didn't really come from high schools that had a weight program. None of these guys hardly had were ever on any type of nutrition program. Right, so now they get them in here. They're superior athletes. They work them. They teach them the right stuff to do. And then, boom, you see results like that. That's what you should see at a big-time college football program.
You're going to see that. I don't think they can actually have shoulder pads on, which I hate because it's like, dude, if you got helmets on, just put shoulder pads on. It makes things so much safer because they're not hitting the crap out of each other.
You're really not going to see, like you said, you like to see the big guy's buck.
Yeah,
going to see that.
Just the heads up. Just get the crunch and get the shoulders loose. You know, it's first week. Let's get the shoulders loose a little bit. You won't get that, but you're going to get one-on-ones with receivers and DBs. And really, that's your biggest question marks moving forward. Yep. Are the guys on the edges?
And we're going to get to see Sawyer Smith throw the football.
Yes, and that's the one I wrote. Sawyer Smith, big arm at Troy, still a big arm here? I don't know. We're going to find out. But Josh Alvey, when I got to watch, I think we got to watch two spring practices. He was the most steady guy aside from Lynn Bowden, who, by the way, folks, if you just watch Lynn Bowden. God, he's so good.
They don't need – just put Lynn Bowden in the garage. We all know what we're going to
do. Oh, man, he's so freaking good.
Unleash him come week one, week two, week three.
And you know who's going to be really entertaining too is our boy John Sumrall.
Oh, yeah.
He has juice, folks, and that's the only way to put it. Him and Cash Daniel are cut from the same cloth. Those dudes are fiery. There was one scenario where he like gets in the drills. He's just like right in the middle of them. And they do the little, what do you call the, they're almost like hoods. I don't know what you call, but they're the little canopies that force the linebackers to start low.
Talking about the chutes?
Yeah, the chutes, yes. So they start the linebackers in chutes, and then they've got to go hit somebody 6 yards away, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a drill this spring, and Summerall was just like, is somebody going to hit somebody, or am I going to have to do it? You know, like, just so much fun to watch. So just keep an eye on him throughout practice as well.
And we haven't really seen it yet with Summerall, but he's going to be a guy that really makes an impact on the recruiting trail, especially in the Deep South.
He's got a couple of them so far.
But
got the Derek Jackson guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, he got Quandarius Robinson, a dude who went to Alabama from Birmingham to officially visit.
Yeah, he's going to get some blue chips up here from down there. So I was really excited about the hire. That's who I wanted them to go after. That's who I thought they would go
after. That was the ultimate. Like, folks, if you don't think Adam Luckett knows what he's talking about, when I texted him, it was probably right after left.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, who's some assistant that I don't know about that's going to be a candidate? And Summerall was the first name you said. And he told me his resume. I'm like, dude, they got to get this guy.
Yeah. And they did.
And they did.
It was a no-brainer hire they got to go after, and they got him. Yeah. This guy brings a lot of energy, and he's got recruiting chops. And that's something to be excited about moving forward. And he's got a guy that I'm really excited about in a position that's going to be one of the more interesting in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Will spot.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Jones is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Oates is more than that. Probably he's going to be the mic when Cash leaves.
Yes.
But Cash has got another year left.
Right. So how much do you play Square versus Oates? Yeah. How do you rotate him?
Yeah, that's the one thing to watch for. Who's running with the ones and how often are they rotating? Because they're going to do some team passing drills we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And some pursuit drill that you'll
7-on-7.
See.
7-on-7. Yeah.
So how's that kind of shaking out? Because he needs to be on the field.
I like that you noticed, too, that Square, I think 43 is objectively a fantastic inside linebacker member. I don't know what – I don't even think I can name a 43 great linebacker, but he's dropped down to 17. I was like, that's kind of weird. And you remembered our boy Schnetti, Jeff Schnettiger.
He's wearing the Jeff Schnettiger. I don't even call it – it's just the Jeff Schnettiger.
Oh, just the hardest-hitting boy in the Southeastern Conference. He didn't wrap up, but, boy, he'd put a helmet in the middle of your chest.
Yeah, he'd bring some wood.
And then – get a 15-yard penalty. If we just need to get Square, he cut the braids. Now he's just got to grow out the stash. And then, boom, Jeff Snediger.
Another number I like to see, I like when edges or defensive ends rock the single digit.
Yes, Derek Casey's a 6.
Derek Casey's a 6. Yeah, Xavier Peters is a 5.
Oh, yeah, that's That's good.
So in the future, we could have 5 and 6 come screaming off the edge.
9 is the best because I believe that was Clowney 9?
7.
7. But 9 is my favorite for an edge. Oh, gosh.
Gotta love to see the my favorite, though, is the nosemen that are like number 1, number 2, number 3. Northwestern had a big white boy. Number 1. He became my favorite player in college football that year.
What? Yeah. How come we haven't really seen the 00? I think Northwestern was a guy that has 00. It was like one of the first time I saw it. And I just remember it because they had that stupid little silver stripe across their purple uniforms. But well, that's an odd way to end it, but I think it's time to wrap things up. Folks, it's going to be an exciting weekend. We've got Media Day on Friday where we will have a ton of coverage on KentuckySportsRadio.com, followed by a fantastic day on the practice field Saturday where Luck and I will both be there. Jack Pilgrim will probably be there. Everybody's going to be there watching the Cats practice to kick off training camp, and frankly we can't wait here at 11 Personnel. So thanks for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can check us out on Spotify as well. That's an easy way for everyone out there,
and drop us a review, please.
Ooh, yes, the rates and reviews, they certainly help.
Give us
a lot.
Some feedback.
Yeah, and you know, if you want to sponsor the show, hit up Maria at KentuckySportsRadio.com. That's her email address. She's very good at her job.
We're very good company, man, me and Mr. Roush.
Yes.
We will
yes.
spread the word.
Yes, we will totally sell out. In a heartbeat.
Just get at us.
Yes, please. And thanks for listening to episode 2 of 11 Personnel.